This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Kidding me. No, actually it is Tim and Johnny. We're slightly educated. We like to talk education, and we actually used to be and still are educators. Johnny Lupinacci, how are you, my friend?
Doing well, my buddy. How we doing?
I am, you know, before we jump into the topic, I was talking to you a little bit off air, and you know, we did a whole show last week, you know, kind of coming off of W. Kamau Bell's United Shades of America, looking at the critical race theory debacle, and got to give props. I watched it again last week. I know you didn't, but Black in Appalachia, or Appalachia, depending on where you're from, which word you would like to use, Appalachia, Appalachia. Incredible content, just looking at, again, a cultural look at something that a lot of people, you know, recognizing and going, okay, so when we talk about Appalachia, who are we talking about actually? And the diversity within what sometimes a lot of people imagine are, you know, places that lack diversity. So great show, and awesome. The Crystal Good we were introduced to, and she was phenomenal. The docent of Appalachia. She was actually spending a lot of time explaining to W. Kamau Bell the area, and I made a reach out on to her about talking about Appalachia and teacher education and looking at some kind of a grow your own apprenticeship program. So anyway, you know, props out there. No, W. Kamau Bell does not give Busted Pencils any endorsement or any money. I just want to put that out there because good content is out there. Johnny, okay. Newsflash, we have a teacher shortage.
Oh, come on, man.
Of course we do. I'm just saying.
My entire career we've had teacher shortages, but let's get there. We know about this particular one we're going to unpack tonight.
It's a teacher shortage. We keep hearing about it, you know, and I actually appreciate some of the people going, I don't know, is it a shortage? We've debated this. You know, should we call it an exodus? I don't, you know. Well, actually, a lot of people who've listened to Busted Pencils probably have a good idea what I think about this issue, but a new kind of twist in this, and Dateline Arizona in Salon.com. Johnny, now Arizona says teachers don't require college degrees, and I'm quoting from the article, quote, last week, just days after the Arizona legislature passed the most expansive school voucher bill anywhere in the nation, Governor Doug Ducey signed into law another education measure decreeing that public school teachers are no longer required to have a college degree of any kind before being hired. Arizona teachers will only have to be enrolled in college in order to begin the teaching the state's public school students. Evan, what would Mr. Floyd say? Oh, there it is, Johnny. We don't need no education. In fact, the Salon.com article starts off with, we don't need no education, colon. Now Arizona says teachers don't require college degrees. Going on with the article, quote, the law SB 1159 was pushed by conservatives on the grounds that Arizona has faced a severe teacher shortage for the last 6 years, which by this winter left 26% of teacher vacancies unfilled. That's nearly 2,000 classrooms without an official teacher of record. Oh, Johnny, Arizona, problem, solution, there they are, man. Teacher shortage, not in Arizona, no education required. I'm confused, I'm startled, I want to talk about this. You know, is this the shortage, Johnny? First reactions, we don't need no education, though, dude. Just remember.
Well, I mean, I have questions about it because I think there's a few things at play here. there's a couple different dimensions of this. And one of them being, there's a really specific reason. There's many, but I think there's one big specific reason, even pre-pandemic and kind of current conditions in schools being like, unarguably, this is one of the hardest times, if not the hardest time ever to be a teacher. Take, for example, the rate of pay for teaching as in schools in Arizona is among our country's lowest. It's far below commensurable work hours and a minimum wage at most places. And so for a lot of reasons, we can look at teacher shortage and say there is a teacher shortage, which doesn't really shine light on the fact of the reason why it's difficult to retain teachers in Arizona, period, before kind of conditions that are going right now. In addition to that, I think, you know, there then is a crisis. It's a manufactured crisis. Like you have, like you said, thousands of classrooms that don't have a teacher assigned to it. You got to assign somebody to those classrooms. Kids need teachers. And so now you have a manufactured problem and you have to have a solution. It's like, if you have a leak, first we got to stop the leak and then ask, why is there a leak, and fix the reason why there was a leak. So you got to do both. So I'm not 100% against getting maybe people who are interested in becoming teachers, you know, qualified substitutes, you know, someone who's undecided in their degree, but enrolled in a program somewhere to help out in terms of plugging a gap, like a hole.
Okay.
But you can't fill a void with a void.
You gotta
say, like, okay, we have a crisis on our hands. We have classrooms without teachers. We need to have some emergency legislation that changes some requirement, because you have to have an adult in these rooms. We have to really think differently about how we're doing this. And I don't think that just because somebody isn't a certified teacher is that they won't be a qualified person to be a plug in a hole.
Okay. I want to stop you though, because now I'm going to break this apart. You know, the problem solution. What is the problem? Well, the solution is, hey, anybody can teach. Evan, what would Mr. Floyd say about the solution?
I don't know. I got to ask him.
Okay. Ask up Mr. Floyd.
Have you seen him?
I have not seen him. Have you seen him?
Oh, you know what though?
That's all I'm saying, Johnny, is, I mean, Mr. Floyd had the answer back long ago with the wall. We don't need no education. If you don't need an education, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Actually, call us with your solution to the teacher shortage. Arizona says we don't need no education. Teachers need not be educated to teach. Johnny was giving us the potential of going, I kind of get this. From the, we need adults in front of kids. And in Arizona, if there were 2,000 empty classrooms, that can't happen. So the immediate problem. So Johnny, that's not the problem though. And that's what I worry about. You're talking about the immediate problem. So the immediate problem is classrooms without adult supervision. Is that the immediate problem?
I mean, you said 2,000 some classrooms without a teacher in there. That's
right.
An immediate problem. That's
okay.
Got to be fixed and solved for going back to school, but it can't end there. And this is where I think we're in this slippery slope, is we know historically places like Arizona, especially in terms of educational policy, are like a testing grounds to see how far we can push boundaries or how little we can pay teachers until it's a crisis. So now the rest of the country knows, if you pay teachers even less, you'll likely end up in the kind of crisis Arizona's in. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we're going to find out what happens when you lower the requirement statewide to filling those. It again is putting students in Arizona as sort of test dummies for an education system that could spend less and make more. That's what we're testing out in Arizona. And then when I say we, it's not me and you, Tim. I think our politics are pretty clear on this. This is a bad experiment. But but it's the whole sort of corporate model of education, because you brought this up by vouchers and you paired it with that. And this is sort of how you test the market. How far can you drive down, like lower pay for teachers until they all leave? And then can you replace them with lower qualified labor and get away with it?
Well, see, and that's it, you know, and when you're talking about, I said the immediate problem, if you listen to my definition of the immediate problem, it wasn't a teacher shortage. It was a classroom without an adult that could provide some kind of supervision. Okay. That's the problem. That's not a teacher shortage. That's unsupervised children. So the solution we put forward there is, well, think about this, but Arizona, and I want to, you know, quote, you want to talk about an educated educator who talks education. You're going to love this quote, Johnny. Quote, with Arizona trying to get education monies to parents directly to pay for schooling, including homeschooling, that would be vouchers, you see more evidence that the state doesn't care who teaches its kids, end quote. David Berliner. Arizona State University, psychologist, American Educational Research Association, past president, David Berliner says, Johnny, if we're talking about getting qualified people to teach our children, this ain't the solution to that problem.
Unless you have a different political and economic agenda.
The reason Joe Biden...
If I change the qualifications, then I do have plenty of qualified people because I've lowered the qualifications for that labor position. And I think that's what Arizona is test driving here, is can they change the qualification requirements? Now, you and I and David Berliner know that we are already on kind of a tightrope of, like, are our teachers highly qualified when they leave our teacher education programs and they're ready? Like, does being a certified teacher mean you're a highly qualified teacher?
John, let me stop you for a second, though, real quick on that, because you may, there's a great, what is a highly qualified teacher? If you don't have a solution to the teacher shortage, I would love for the callers to come in, 844-967-2789. What is a highly qualified teacher? If you were saying this is a high, what is that? So, Johnny, thanks for putting that in. Keep going, buddy.
Well, no, I mean, I think that's what we are talking about, is we have a different definition of what the qualifications ought to be for somebody who is teaching children in this country. Really, I would like it to be like any child in the world has a high quality teacher. And that's going to look different in different places. And we can sort of tease apart the details of what defines highly qualified for that labor. But I think if we've reach some consensus around it, it's often been a degree, a college degree, and some specific teacher training accompanying that degree. Sometimes it's post bachelor degree, sometimes it's part of an undergraduate program. There are different alternate routes to certification, but it's historically meant that you have a college degree and in an area of study, and in and accompanying that you have an education teacher training or teacher certification program that you've been part of.
So there's the bare minimum highly qualified, Johnny Lupinacci. 844-967-2789. Give us a call what you think the highly qualified teacher is. When we get back after the break, we will take your calls. And Mr. Floyd says, we don't need no education, Evan, back when we get after the break. Johnny Lupinacci, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number, if you want to talk education with us, 844-967-2789. Teacher shortage, not in Arizona. Problem in Arizona was, is the qualifications to be a teacher were just too darn high. You had to get educated to become a teacher in Arizona. No more. At least that's what they're trying to put forward. There's a little bit of, you know, behind the scenes details that we'll fill you in on. But highly qualified was the question. Tom, L.A. Tom is on the line. Welcome back to Busted Pencils, Tom. So you've got the teacher shortage, or you have a definition for highly qualified? Go for it, Tom.
A little bit of both, but hey guys, first off, we the people are the government, and we better wake the F up. And the Republicans are the pro-death party. This is just absolutely ridiculous. What these people are doing to their future generations is so sad and so disgusting. To not be able to have a proper education, and for what we have done to teachers in terms of making them like basically paid babysitters, I guess is what we have now.
Well, yeah, so we're at the paid babysitter stage, but the solution, Tom, I know you come from a family of educators. You've talked about that. And, you know, we don't need no education to be a teacher. As you point this out, though, it's talking about, you know, the infliction of creating a disparate education system. I like the way you framed that, where it's like the intentionality behind those people, and whatever you want to put those people, we'll say on the right now, particularly in Arizona, let's lower the qualifications to become a teacher. And Tom, my goodness, where you put us in a direction of going, and what is the effect on your child's education? Does anybody care? That's where I think you're going, Tom, right?
Exactly. Like I said, they're basically making them into high paid babysitters. I just find it so disgusting that we can spend, you know, $1 billion or millions and billions of dollars on the military industrial complex. We can spend billions of dollars for billionaires and all these other things, not paying taxes. And all we're asking for is for our kids to be educated. And it's really, really just disheartening. I mean, I don't have kids. But you know what? I believe in education. I believe in the fact that that's what actually makes us curious about things. And it's just, I just find it so disgusting. I find it also disgusting that, you know, that the labor unions have not actually stood up a little bit stronger, you know, for teachers and given them a reason. I mean, it used to be the reason people went into teaching was for the benefits, for the most part, and for the long-term benefits.
And I think about that, the why do people go into it? And, you know, Johnny, the talk that we've had about, you know, highly qualified in these things, but, you know, the acute problem, as we talked about, is there somebody standing in front of your child? And if the answer is no, you know, you start to wonder, you know, does legislation that says, look, this qualified adult can now stand in front of your child. Is that why voters are saying yes to this? Are voters actively, by not stepping up and saying something, are they participating in the downgrading of the education of their own children? I mean, you know, Johnny, there has to be motivation of the people to make this happen, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I think it gets, again, I bring it back to, I think it gets manufactured and then obscured, right? I think one of the things we've seen is it's a manufactured shortage. There's a reason why. You've said it before. There's a reason why. And Tom brought it up when he called, because he reminds us every time he calls about the party being a death party, right? He calls it that. You know, I like that analogy. There's like living systems and there's, you know, killing systems. And these are policy decisions rooted in really taking the life out of what could be and is a vibrant education system, where we have, you know, teachers who are trained to teach, who are thinking all the time about, you know, the best practices around being present at the emergence of ideas, of shared creativity, you know, of learning to be a citizen in a democracy. These are all things that you learn to teach in our society. And so, you know, these decisions take that away, and the general public does, the citizenry has a responsibility in any country or any community of saying, what do we want our young people to be doing in order to grow into the kind of citizens we want to live among? We want to, you know, share economies. We want to, you know, have as our community. This is the function of schools, right? And so it becomes a big issue. And one of the things when you ask me about it, I have to respond honestly. If there's a manufactured crisis in terms of the teacher shortages due to some real clear indications like lack of funding and to lowering the pay and making the job nearly impossible to do, to the point where no young person is very interested in pursuing that line of career work, then, you know, you have a leak. You have 2,000 empty classrooms. Now you have a crisis and you have a general citizenry who is responding to the crisis. We absolutely need people in those classrooms, and we got to be creative about how we get there. At the same time, we got to ask ourselves, why do we have that leak?
And that's the question, Johnny. Oh, you know what? When we get back to it from the break, citizenry, you're out there. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. How do we repair this leak? Busted pencils, uneducated citizens. Oh, man. More after the break.
Looking forward to the shooting holes in the pipes.
Always selling something everybody wants to be. That's an educated educator talking education. The number is 844-967-2789. Old story, teacher shortage. New solution. I don't even know if it's a new solution, but Arizona says uneducated teachers is the solution to the problem. In fact, what they're really saying is that becoming an educated, highly qualified teacher is part of the problem. It keeps people from being in the classroom, and darn it, we need people getting into that classroom. L.A. Tom, we love his call, called in and talked about, though, you know, the kind of like, are we inflicting some kind of long-term damage on our society? And we were kind of going with, you know, how do citizens typically approve and allow such things as uneducated teachers becoming a satisfactory solution to the crisis? And made me think a little bit, Johnny, about, you know, well, education is supposed to be, you know, the whole idea is to create an educated population of citizens that are out there doing some critical thinking so that things like this wouldn't happen. It just made me think about, you know, the late George Carlin and one of the things he had said about education. And here's George's quote. There's a reason education sucks. It's the same reason that it will never, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you get, because the owners of this country don't want that. What don't they want? I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interests. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit down around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting you-know-what by a system that threw them overboard 30 blanking years ago, end quote. George Carlin. Well, so then the solution here then of Arizona is, from L.A. Tom's point, very much intentional if we take George Carlin in that and saying, of course we don't want educated teachers in there. And we're going to use the crisis of 2,000 empty classrooms to solidify the move that we've been trying for the longest time, which is we don't want, not that we don't want no education, we don't want no educated teachers teaching our students to be thinking critically, Johnny Lupinacci.
I mean, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about, you know, you've got a crisis, we got a leak, right? Well, we have to back up too. We have to plug the hole, it's a leak, and also say, stop shooting holes in the pipes, right? Because there is a political purpose to education, and like, we got to back out. That's what we're doing here. And I know talking about this article, but I really, really want to refocus this on the fact of like, what is the purpose of schools in society? Because that's kind of what we're getting here. We ask that question, and we might disagree on the purpose of schools in society, right? And that's that Carlin quote's kind of getting at that. If the purpose of schools in society is to make sure we've got a whole lot of people not prepared to make decisions for their community and who believe that they aren't smart. Like, school's done a really good job of instilling in a lot of people that they don't know what they're doing, right? To be able to create a certain kind of labor force. And it's simply all imploding at the moment. There are these labor shortages. It's not just teaching.
Right.
There are work shortages in all kinds of areas. And schools in this country are not benevolent in this crisis. It's manufactured. It's as simple as, why is there a leak in the pipe? Because particular people keep going up to it and shooting holes in the pipe. Right. And so we have policymakers like those folks in Arizona who you identified are seizing the opportunity to lower the qualifications of teachers, right? Have been connected to the systemic ways of making teaching so intolerable for teachers that they have to leave. Right.
Well, that comes back to, you know, it's like, look, the shortage, you know, we say the manufactured crisis. I'd agree with you. And in fact, it's not a crisis. They've put forth an agenda that has gotten exactly where we want to go, which is, you know what? We don't want educated teachers. We don't want critical thinkers. We don't want, quote, woke teachers out there teaching about the potential that, hey, you know what, calling it involuntary relocation, that's a heinous crime when you're trying to talk about slavery. That's a horrible thing. All of these things that come up to question the power of critical thinking, the rights of citizenry to ask those hard questions, well, you eliminate that. You eliminate that intentionally then by actually making standardized education that is, you know, not, quote, controversial, doesn't make me upset, doesn't make me uncomfortable. And then on top of that, you create laws that then take the qualified educated teachers that are out there, make them frightened about actually doing their job as teaching, and then driving a lot of them to quit. And then at the same time, stepping up as a solution-minded politician and putting forward, my goodness, these poor children need an adult in front of them. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we got to such a shortage, but here we are to save the day. We're going to allow anybody to get into these classrooms because, my goodness, it's a crisis. It's an emergency. And here we go. Never let a good crisis go to waste. And boy, how about making, though, your own crisis so you can put in your solution to put the final nail on the coffin of going, we don't like public education for the good of the citizenry. We don't like that idea. So, John, you're back. The societal aims, intentions of a public education. I'm not all for a liberating, democratic, critically thinking citizenry. That sounds like a bunch of woke liberal lefty stuff. And I don't want that in my education system. The intentions of school, hey, you're upending my political career. I don't know. I said a mouthful there, Johnny.
Yeah, you did, man. And you took it right to that liberal conservative split. I'm going to go right down the middle and be like, hey, I want young people in this country, really around the world, but especially in this country or in my community or in the communities I'm a part of. Really, I shouldn't be speaking on behalf of every community, although I'm an expert in these areas. I don't want to map what everybody should do onto them. But at least in the area I'm a stakeholder in, right? Maybe my country, my state, my county, my district, right? This is a democracy. I have a say in this. And I kind of want to, you know, extend it to the fact that, like, I really do think no matter what your political affinity is, whether you want, like, it has nothing to do with wokeness or liberal agendas or conservative right wing. It's about what are the core principles of a democracy? What are the skills we have, like general literacy, able to read, able to do mathematics in terms of add, subtract, multiply, divide, be able to think openly and with and apply multiple perspectives to a complex situation, right? Like, hey, we got to solve a problem in our neighborhood. Okay, mm-hmm. We got to get together and we got to consider the facts and apply scientific literacy, or you know, or what we all learned in school is problem solving together to solve this problem in a humane and democratic way. Great. That has zero affiliation, or ought not to have any affiliation with whether it's MSNBC or Fox News. Like that polarization, right, that continues to plague how we come at shared necessary decision making, which to me, a school system is a no-brainer. It's a government function, and together in our community, we are stakeholders in it. Whether we have kids or not, we come together to decide what ought to be, you know, our what ought to be the function of our schools, the curriculum for our schools, and that within that we can have experts guiding it, but we need a citizenry that is connected enough to it that they don't allow for things like paying teachers so little that they can't continue to be a mainstay for the children in that community. These are kinds of things that wouldn't happen if the decision-making power was localized and depoliticized from two parties.
But see, you're back to the two parties and you're going right down the middle. And I would say there is no middle here, Johnny Lupinacci. You're talking about small D democracy and saying citizens who want a small D democracy, as if that's a middle ground. I'm not sure that a small D participatory citizenry is a middle ground in this current state of affairs that we're in. And, you know, so maybe I'm doing extreme left, extreme right. If you're calling that the middle, I'll just call what you're asking for is a human liberal, not the liberal Democrat, but the small L, a liberal way of being in the world. Yeah, I think that's what you and I want. But I got to say at this point, the idea that we're seeing, you know, so let's move to Florida, where the teachers that are left there that are certified to teach, particularly in social studies, are now being handed a curriculum in which every social studies teacher who's got a qualified social studies license is sitting there going, yo, this ain't true history. I can't really teach this stuff. This is religious indoctrination. I can't really do this stuff. But here you've got the state, who's supposed to be a democratic actor, imposing on teachers what to teach, to how to teach, to the bound citizenry who have to go to public schools. They're a captured audience in that classroom now. Now we've taken it to the step of saying, and here's what you as a teacher have to teach these kids. That ain't small D democracy. That ain't small L liberal. That's fascism, dude. And this is where I'm going, man. If you think that's too far, I'm worried about where we're headed with this, because I think it's extreme not to understand how extreme the situation is. That's where I'm coming, Johnny.
Well, I agree with you. And I think it's a whole, what I want to put in there is it's an interesting kind of fascism, because it's, you were calling it democracy. It's not democracy with a small D. It's incredibly centralized government decision-making that's imposing a curriculum. It's deciding it in a centralized way. It's authoritarianism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not sure that it's quite fascism from my perspective. We got to gather more facts. I think it leads to the door opening towards it could be fascist. It certainly is authoritarian, which is, you know, a key ingredient in fascism, but it's centralized decision-making. It's big government. It's not even democracy. So it's just government with a big old G right there that's saying, we'll make the decision. We'll tell you what to do. What worries me, Tim, is that it's not actually government per se. It's corporate interest. It's a particular set of political interests imposed. So it's not democratic anywhere. It's not even democratic with a big D. It's just, here's what we want to be there to be taught, and it's top down, it's imposed, and we're seeing how it plays out in places around this country and really around the world. This is not a phenomenon unique only to the United States.
Johnny Lupinacci, it sounds to me like maybe you're talking about oligarchy, if we want to go down to a word, huh? Oligarchy. 844-967-2789. You got one last chance to call us after the break. More Busted Pencils when we get back.
What if I'm writing you a wrong? What if you knew it all along? What if I figured out that I did not belong?
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against. You're on Busted Pencils Radio.
Everybody always belongs on Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, where the educated educators come to talk education. The number's 844-967-2789. Oh, quick summary as we're coming up on our last segment here. Teacher crisis, shortage, there aren't teachers, nobody's standing in front of my kid. Oh my God, somebody get there. Arizona says, no problem. Let's lower the requirements. Typically, we like our teachers to be educated. However, in Arizona, we're not going to require that anymore. That's just such an awesome hurdle that we need people quickly. Crisis. Oh my God. And then I'm George Carlin. We don't want critically thinking people that can function in a democracy. I went with the big F word. That would be fascism. Johnny Lupinacci, my co-host out there in the West, said, yo, Tim, slow down, man. That's a big word. Let's go down the middle. I'm going to describe for you all the ingredients of fascism and call that the middle ground. Now, holy crap, I look in the pot now and I'm surprised it's fascism. But Johnny, I kind of went with this, you know, and it made you hungry, but I was talking about the oligarchy and you said you're going to take me to Olive Garden. I said, no, Johnny.
Yeah, man, I heard Olive Garden. You went from fascism to Olive Garden.
Like, how do we get from fascism to Olive Garden? No, oligarchy. Okay. Define that term, Johnny Lupinacci.
Oh, man. All I can think about right now is the Olive Garden. But
breadsticks and all-you-can-eat salad.
And I like how you did drop the fascism. Hey, we're cooking up a dinner of fascism here when we're describing what's happening with schools and what kind of citizenry we're providing and building really a citizenry unaware of those ingredients, right? So all those ingredients are in the pot. I take a look in there, and certainly we could call what you're cooking up fascism. You know, I kind of said it's certainly authoritarianism. It's certainly centralized. And then you brought up Olive Garden. I guess we should stop calling it that. It's the oligarchy. But I get, what do we want to just break it down into a short definition?
Yeah, short definition.
Like as a group of people being controlled by their country, a single organization or institution. So, like, you know.
Well, and who's got the levers of control?
With despotism being the sort of describing word of it.
Despotism. I think you kind of came full forward with this earlier. You know, the levers of control in an oligarchy, right? It's the kind of despotism, the pseudo looks like we're in control, but who's really pulling the power levers? Are incredibly strong, highly influential, and incredibly rich corporate bodies, those with the money, oligarchic decisions. What's best for billionaires, Johnny, is what's best for you people on food stamps. How do we know? Because we're a billionaire, and if we weren't a billionaire, if we wouldn't have achieved billionaire status, we wouldn't be that great. Since we're a billionaire, we're going to tell you what to think. I don't know. That's a simple-minded description of oligarchy. But I, you know, for this one, when I talk about this, whose interests are being served when we are de-educating, which isn't a word, but uneducating, fully putting in place an education system that actually takes away the ability to question, right? That critical thinking, that question. If I can't question what I just said, was I'm not sure Bill Gates, who's probably an awesome dude who was really cool at putting computer stuff together, but I'm not sure his financial success is an indicator that he should be making decisions for entire communities about the education that happens within that community. This is what we're talking about here, and going, how do you fight back against that? The only way you fight back against that is to have enough people who are educated to be able to put together a critique that says, I think Bill Gates is maybe a really good businessman. I think he might be a good guy. I don't really know him. But I got to question whether he should have the power to make decisions for mass amounts of people. He's not elected. He's a billionaire corporate person. So when we're looking at this, when we uneducate, when we require, can you require that you don't go to school? I guess, you know, if we're requiring that our teachers get less education, the effect, come on, let's recognize what the effect is here. The ability on students themselves to figure out how to ask questions. So, Johnny, you said a problem-solving culture where, you know, MSNBC and Fox News gets together and says, we got a common problem. Let's pull this together. We got ways that we've learned growing up in school how to problem solve. You know what, though? In this move, who needs to problem solve? The problems are already solved. Billionaires, corporate interests, the oligarchy's in charge, buddy. Johnny Lupinacci.
Hey, man, I love where you went with this tonight on the show, Tim. We went all over and through and around what's happening in schools and in this country. And, you know, and for me, it boils down to, you know, what L.A. Tom reminds us of every time he gives us a call is, you know, this is for the people, by the people. Mm-hmm. This is a small D democracy. As much as we want to slap a capital D on there and talk about Olive Garden, and you know, and really identify that the kind of ways we're doing things here right now, especially in regards to education, is not only dangerous, but is detrimental to democracy. And so as we get back together on these kinds of things and we talk about it, we chop it up, you know, we slice it up, and we really interrogate what's possible and how could we come together to do better by all the children in this country. And this week, especially those young people in Arizona who are in those classrooms that don't have qualified teachers, that will hopefully have somebody who might one day become a qualified teacher, right? So they might get a really great adult in there that inspires mm-hmm. them, that helps them to be great learners. So I hope this week, I end on that, I hope that they get somebody great in their classroom and that we figure out not only how to plug that leak, but to ask questions about why are there leaks in the first place and how can we do better by all these children?
It's a leak. I don't know. I think it's a gushing Johnny Lupinacci. It's an exodus. Teachers are leaving. People don't want to go into it. How do we, fix that? I think we first, though, come back to what you said early on is diagnose the problem. Yes, we've got to stop the bleeding. We absolutely do. But we have to stop what's making the bleeding happen. And when we look at this, when we're talking about how do we get highly qualified,
you got 40 seconds.
Okay.
Oh, dang.
to the music. I thought I heard the music. Anyway, you know, getting for the highly qualified people here, Johnny, we want to do this. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, though. That's what we do here every week. Highly qualified educators talking education. More when we get back next week.
Johnny, yeah, call us up. Chop it up with us.
Mm-hmm. On Devil Radio 92.7.